Welcome to His Church, Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
Is anybody thankful to be in the house of God under the Word of God right now? I'm thankful for Jesus' Word. Amen. And, you know, I was excited because it's been such an incredible week about coming back and sharing today the future of His Church. We're one church with multiple locations now. A lot of people don't know how that works, although God's been doing that all over America. It's not a new thing. It's a thing that's really been blessing the nation because God will take a body of believers, put His hand upon them, teach them something, then they can replicate it in other communities. How many of y'all believe that Jesus doesn't just want to save Owensboro? He wants to save Henderson. He wants to save Bowling Green, Evansville, Nashville, New York. Come on, somebody. He wants to save all of these cities. And so I wanted to come and just talk about that today and to preach about where we're going. And I'm going to do that quickly and in the near future and show you kind of how the structure looks like. But in light of national events this week, of what's happened this week, and I know many of you have seen it, and you've been touched by it, you've thought about it, everybody has an opinion about it. That's what's happened nationally in New York this last week. And in New York, a bill was passed, signed into law, that allows late-term abortion all the way up to the time a child would come out of the womb to be formed. And I know you saw it, the people that signed that into law, the governor and the other political powers there that have been pushing for that thing to sign into law, you saw them celebrating and smiling and laughing as they signed that thing into law. Now, I'm going to tell you today, the Spirit of God thundered in my heart yesterday. He said, they may be laughing and smiling, but I'm weeping over the city of New York and over the unborn. Now, I felt the word of the Lord come to me, and I have an unction to prophesy. And I'm telling you, if men of God and preachers and prophets and leaders of the church aren't rending their garment and speaking out against this in an hour like this, we don't have a man of God on our side. We have a politician or just someone as a hireling. Come on. We got to stand for righteousness, call good good, call evil evil, and divide a line between truth and error as a church. Come on, somebody say amen to that. That's what we're called to do. We're that kind of people. And you know, I care that the church grows, and I care that people feel valued, and we want to make a space like that. But I'm telling you, I care more about who we're called to be as a church and what kind of voice and what kind of people God wants us to be. So how many know we, the church, are called to be different than the world? Our message is not the same as the world's message. Come on, somebody. And they rejected Jesus, and at times they're going to reject us. And we just have to be willing to stand up and take that like a man. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I want to pray over us today, and then we're going to look at what's happening. How's the heart of God rent over this situation? We're going to look at the unborn, and we're going to talk about what our response should be as Christians to something so heinous as late-term abortion being legalized in our land. Come on, let's pray. If you're comfortable with it, lift a hand to heaven right now. Let's invoke the presence of God to lead us, guide us, speak to us. Father, right now we pray and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the word of God, which is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, Lord, we declare that your word's guiding us. Your word is leading us. You're taking us to a place called the best. Lord, I bless now these, your people. We pray for the heart of America. Come on, right now, you ought to pray. We pray as a group for the heart of America. We pray you would send revival, send restoration. Do what only you could do in New York and do something in our hearts today. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You know, I want to read a few scriptures to lay a foundation before we go forward. The first scripture is out of Psalm 139, verse 15 through 17. And this is in the NLT. This is the word of the Lord. Here's what it says. It says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me? O God, they cannot be numbered. The Bible says that God saw us as we were formed in our mother's womb. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7 says this, do not kill the innocent. One of the first commandments is about not killing, not murdering. As a matter of fact, whenever Jesus restated the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the first one he says is, thou shall not kill. Come on, everybody say, thou shall not kill. See, we shouldn't kill anyone, but innocent blood has a special place in the heart of God. Ezekiel 23, verse 37, it says this. It says, for they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands, and even sacrificed their son. Jeremiah 22, verse 17 says this, your eyes and your heart are for nothing but for covetousness, for shedding innocent blood, for practicing oppression and violence. You know, we have a problem in the world, and that the world no longer sees life for what it really is. But I'm telling you, every life that's walking around on the planet, born through the womb of a woman, and even in the womb of a woman, is precious in the sight of God. Every child, every person in here, the Bible says you're fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You've been sent with a purpose and a plan. You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Every child in the womb also has a purpose and a plan. They're a word sent from heaven to do God's will on the earth, and they're precious. If you believe that, give God a hand clap for the value of children. There is nothing else like a child on the earth. And so we see the temperature of the world. I'm telling you, whenever they signed that bill into pass, I believe America crossed a prophetic threshold, and the heart of God was rent and torn. And it's just a thermometer of what's going on in the world around us. But I'm telling you, part of the problem isn't just the world around us. It's the church itself. It's us. The stats show this about the church. I really believe this. I believe as the church goes, the nation goes. We set the pace with our morality. We set the pace with our ethics. We set the pace with who we are as a people. And a Pew study shows this about the church nationally. They did some research, and they say that 69% of American Christians do not want Roe versus Wade overturned. 69% of American Christians do not want Roe versus Wade overturned. That ought to shock you. 69% of American Christians do not want Roe versus Wade overturned. What is Roe versus Wade? Roe versus Wade was a Supreme Court decision that allowed abortion and legalized it across the land. Whenever that happened, the Supreme Court, the most important seats in the land, they put their stamp on a death squad. And it's the darkest day, I believe, in American history to that point. So how do we get there? Why do we think like that? Why would we not understand the value of a life? And now in New York, it goes as far. There's been tons of late-term abortions already this week since that was passed. There was a scurry of women and doctors and medical people that wanted to be the first people to participate in an act so heinous a child could be born the next day and you can murder and kill that child the day before. I don't know if you've seen 3D imagery of a child in the womb now. You see them, you can see them laugh, can see them suck their thumb, can see them move. They are lifelike, and we cannot deny that they are humans. How do we get here to 69% believing it doesn't matter? Well, I think a similar question could be asked about Nazi Germany. People don't like when you draw those conclusions and draw those lines, but you know, Nazi Germany went to a point where they felt all right about murdering 6 million Jews. Do you also know that many of our 20-year-old and younger in America now, because of revisionist history, have never heard of the Holocaust? They do not understand what can happen whenever we as people begin to see others with less value than ourselves. And what happened was that the German Supreme Court decided that the Jews were not normal people. And they began to say that they were a subhuman species. They looked like humans, they walked like humans, they talked like humans, but their brain was not as developed as a normal human. And they lifted their protection. German law would no longer protect the Jew. After that, Hitler released his final solution. that caused the death of 6 million Jews. Here was the logic they used to push that thing out there. Number one, the Jews were subhuman in their estimation. They look like humans, but they're not yet human. It's kind of like you've heard that language before. Is it a life or is it not a life? They said the Jews were not a life. Second thing they said was that the Jews were parasites. Whenever the Jews come into a culture, the Germans thought that they were a parasite on the other human groups. And how many know nobody wants a parasite around? They used that logic. They said that the Jews were a growing flesh or mass. They said they're not a human, they're simply a mass. They went on and said when they killed them, instead of saying they were killing them, they called it an evacuation. We just evacuated them out of where we are. The last thing they said is that what they were doing would push science forward with medical research. Now we see ever since Roe versus Wade came out that we hear language that say that unborn babies are subhuman. Looks like a human, moves like a human in the womb, but it's not really a human yet simply because it hasn't breached the wall of its mother. The argument made by the abortionists is that a child growing inside a woman is a parasite, and it's that woman has a right to be able to remove that parasite. But I'm going to tell you that no woman has a right in the eyes of God to murder a child in their womb. It is not an abortion. It's a murder. It's a death. It's a heinous, foul thing in the eyes of God. Now, let me say this. If you've been involved in that, I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry at you. I love you. I want to see you restored. So many girls have been sold lies about abortion. There were kids, they get pregnant, and parents don't want that pressure in their life. And they begin to tell them a lie. It'll be better if you abort that child. You don't need to inconvenience yourself. It'll mess up your college, your future. And so a lie has been sold to so many women in America. Now I'm telling you what Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to do is to uncover that lie so real healing can come into your soul. Because abortion leaves a barren place in the heart and soul of every man that's a part of it, every woman that's a part of it, every family that's a part of it. And a lot of people are no more torn about abortion than people who had an abortion in a younger, weaker state and now understand the law of God, the word of God, or Christian people. There's still a barrenness, and I have good news for you. God's not mad at you. God is a healer. God is a restorer, and he wants to restore that barrenness. Come on, give him a hand clap. If you're in here like that, we love you. I'm for you. But we're required to prophesy about what is right and what is wrong to a nation. And there's so many less voices doing this kind of teaching now. I feel like a younger crowd in America, they don't have a due north from the Word of God. And it's our responsibility to speak the Word of God and to let them know what really is and what's out there. See, here's the deal. The abortion, it comes and it promises you gain. You know, up in Israel, I've been to Israel several times. Love the nation of Israel. I love traveling there. And just a few days in Israel is almost like a Bible college education in the States, because you're there where you've been reading about everything you've read. If you were to go up on the Temple Mount in Israel and then go away from the Temple Mount in the direction towards Caiaphas's house. Caiaphas was the high priest. It's where Jesus stood before him, before his crucifixion. And across from Caiaphas's house, there's an empty plot of land that has never really been developed. And it's crazy that it hasn't been developed because it's in the center of everything. And what that plot of land was, is it's a place where Solomon, the son of David, y'all know David, the man after God's own heart. After David, he had a son by the name of Solomon. God appears to Solomon at a very young age and speaks to him, and Solomon makes a covenant with God. God was Solomon. And Solomon had been warned by the prophets. The kings of Israel were warned. They said, let the kings of Israel not have many horses. Let them not have many wives. And let them not have a massive army. The Bible speaks of Solomon later in life that he rebelled against the command of God. And it says just in the same order that Solomon had many horses. Solomon had many wives, and Solomon had a massive army. The reason God commanded that is he wanted Solomon to trust in him and not to trust in his army, his horses, and his fleshly pleasures. How many of y'all want to trust in God more than we trust in the things of this world? Somebody say amen to that. I want to live my life in a trust in the divine. not in the weaponry of man. And Solomon began to have a real lust for women. And he would almost collect wives and women from other cultures. And he'd been warned, all of Israel had been warned, not to marry someone of another religion, because you might be tempted to worship their gods. And Solomon married thousands and had this massive, massive harem. And then in his latter years, he began to build altars to their god. And right across from Caiaphas's house, Solomon had married a woman from a group of people that worshiped a false deity by the name of Molech. And he went back and he built a temple to Molech in the middle of Israel. And what Molech was a false deity. If you were to see his statue, what the idol looked like, think about a giant Buddha. I've been around Asia. There's big Buddhas everywhere, and they're made out of metal. So this is like a massive metal altar and a massive metal idol. And on the inside of Molech, it was empty. It was built like an oven. And the priests of Molech would go and they would build a fire on the inside of Molech until that bronze was piping hot. And in front of Molech, Molech had arms like a woman holding a child. And there was a baptismal rite by fire in the worship of Molech. You could not offer a child to Molech as a sacrifice unless it first passed through the arms of Molech. So they would heat up this statue as hot as it could, burning, and Israel would come and then lay their children in the fiery hot arms of Molech to baptize them in a rite of fire so they would be ready to be sacrificed. Israel itself burnt its children on the altar of Molech, then would pull them off before they died and sacrifice them to a false pagan god. It's a detestable practice. Because of that practice, the Spirit of God spoke through a prophet and said, Israel is now going into Babylonian captivity. I will turn them over to a foreign invader. That piece of land. Listen, Molech promised Israel this. If you worship me and you sacrifice your children, I will make your life easier. I will bring you prosperity. I will pour my help out upon your land. You kill your sons and daughters, and I will bless you. It's the same lie that the abortion community tells our young men and women. That child ought to be sacrificed. Your life is going to be inconvenienced. Lay down that child's life so your life can be better. But I'm going to tell you, anything you slaughter for your own sake will not produce fruit. It will end up barren. That piece of ground has been barren ever since Israel offered up their children to Molech. It's interesting, the same piece of land. Now it's called the field of blood. That's what they call it, and it's proven it was the field of blood. Y'all know the story, Judas Iscariot. Jesus has a move of God. Pharisees and Sadducees want to see him snuffed out. Here's what the devil does whenever there's a move of God. The devil will look for somebody close to the move of God to find their weaknesses and work them over, to distinguish what God has started, or to extinguish what God has started in their midst. So the devil looks and he finds Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot loved money. He was the money keeper for Jesus. And he would often steal from the purse for the ministry, take it for himself. And so the authorities come to Judas and say, "Will you hand over the King of Glory?" And so Judas hands over the King of Glory, and the price that he betrays Jesus for is 30 pieces of silver. History records that Judas goes, takes those 30 pieces of silver, and he buys a field that's called the Field of Blood. The same thing they did when they offered up children to Molech. They betrayed innocent blood for their own gain. Judas betrays the innocent blood of Jesus for his own gain. He buys that field, but it would never bear fruit in his life. As a matter of fact, Judas goes to his own suicide. Judgment comes, and that field still 2,000 years later has not produced fruit. I'm going to tell you, anything that tells you you can slaughter somebody or something for your own personal gain will not bring you blessing. It will only bring you barrenness. And what God wants to do is take people who've been lied to like that, take that barrenness, heal it, put it back together, pour His Spirit back on it, and lift them up to a new level of life. He doesn't want you barren. He wants you blessed. He doesn't want our culture barren. Come on, somebody. He wants it blessed. He doesn't want New York barren. He wants New York blessed. He does not want American barren. He wants America blessed. Come on, somebody, really give God a hand clap if you believe He wants to bless us, not make us barren. He wants to lift us, not judge us. There's a space of time to repent. where we won't be barren, but we'll be blessed as a nation. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the prophet. I'm going to tell you, we've got a space of time to repent, or judgment will come to our land. Man, I walk up there and I see the field of blood. And it's always a reminder to me that nothing's worth selling out for. Just look at your neighbor and tell them, nothing's worth selling out for. Just tell them that. Man, it's so barren. Listen, the Bible's very clear about human life. Man, it's so clear. How many of y'all have ever held a newborn baby, maybe your newborn baby? Let me see your hand. Man, the other ones are gonna hold one, those of you that desire that. There's nothing more special when you look at that child. Is that right or is that right, parents? The moment they're there, you're like, man, I'd kill people for you. I promise you I would. And I'm a preacher of righteousness and peace, but I'd murder people for you, right? It's just in there. Hey, let's cut that out of the video and we send that out later, all right? Cut that out of the video. It's the way it is. I'm a parent. And I think there's a piece of the heart of God in that, right? It's there. It's by God's design. And here's why we feel that way. You know, the Bible teaches that human life is sacred because it's created in the image of God. Just look at your neighbor and tell them you're created in the image of God. Tell them that, huh? We have a God-likeness. Genesis 1:27 teaches that. There's a God-likeness about you. And it's what separates us. Don't tell PETA, but makes us different than the animal world. I love all the Lord's animals. A righteous man's good to his beast. I got a beast in my house. Sometimes he sleeps with me on the couch. He's a Portuguese water dog. But I'm telling you, his life isn't as precious as my children. And he bites one of my children, we'll have a different deal, right? We'll have a different arrangement in my house. Amen? See, he's a dog, and they're made in the image of God. And it separates us from anything else. Think about the lion. The lion goes out and eats somebody, kills somebody. He doesn't have a convicted spirit. He's like, not like, I'm so sorry I ate that zebra. I just keep doing it. No, he's not like that. Why? We're like that if we do something wrong until our conscience gets seared. Why are we like that? Well, it's a God-likeness. We're made in the image of God. Every child in the womb is made. It's made in the image of God. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible teaches that children are a blessing. I know some of you have teenagers right now and you say, Pastor, I think the word of God's wrong. No, wait till they're 25, right? They're going to grow up. They're going to grow out of that. Their brain's going to fully develop. I see testimonies sitting in the room right now. Their brain finally fully developed. They're going to be a blessing. Somebody say amen to that. It's a blessing. Every child's a blessing. Now, I don't care if the child's not perfect. I'm telling you, a Down syndrome child is a blessing. A child with some sort of physical affliction, it's still a blessing. Come on, somebody. It's made in the image of God. You can rationalize snuffing life out all you want. But I'm telling you, if you had an affliction, you'd want a chance to live. It's a blessing. Third thing the Bible teaches is that the child in the womb is alive and even has a relationship with the Lord. You know, the scripture says that even in the womb, God called and ordained the prophet. Called you as a prophet in your mother's womb. Ordained you to be a voice to the nation. You know, the Gospel of Luke, it uses the same word for a child in the womb. In Luke chapter 1, it talks about a child in the womb. It uses the word brephos, child in the womb. And then after a young child is born, later on, same gospel, same author, he uses the same word, brephos, again. See, God sees a child in the womb as the same child as he sees out of the womb. Man makes up a lying line that says a child isn't a child till it passes outside of a woman. But that same child is a child in the womb is when that child comes out of the woman. The Bible's very clear about that. God sees that thing as a living being and a child. One other thing I know is that the Bible condemns the killing of the innocent. Killing the innocent has another level of atrocity, judgment, and sin in the eyes of God. Some people say all sin is sin. It's not true biblically. Now, all sin separates us from God and damns the soul, and all sin needs cleansing by the blood of Jesus and repentance. But there's some sin that's a higher level than other sin. John said it like this: there's sin that leads to death, and there's a sin that does not lead to death. There's a sin, and then there's an abomination. There's things that hurt God's heart and grieve his spirit, and then there are things that God abhors. And the shedding of innocent blood is something that God absolutely abhors. The next thing I know the Bible teaches is that our God is a God of justice. How many of y'all believe that our God is a just God? There is one lawgiver and one judge, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, let's give the God of justice a massive hand clap. He's a God of grace, God of mercy, but I promise you, he's also a God of justice. He came once as a lamb, he'll return as a lion. The Bible says when he comes back as a lion, he will execute judgment upon the nations. He is the God of justice. Now, you and I as Christians are going to be blessed people either way. Come on, somebody say, I'm blessed. Regardless of what our culture does, we're still going to be blessed people. But here's the difference. You can be a blessed person living in a blessed nation, or we can be a blessed person living in a cursed nation. And I don't know about you, but I prefer to be a blessed person living in a blessed nation as opposed to a blessed person living in a cursed nation. And the blessing of God has been on America in a supernatural way. But the blessing of God, it can lift just about as fast as it came. I promise you that. See, what would a God of justice do in a situation like this? This isn't the first time there's been child sacrifice in the history of man. Go all the way back to the Exodus in Egypt. Pharaoh wanted the Jews exterminated. What did he do? He called the midwives and he says, I want you to kill all of the Jewish boys. Let the women live, but kill the boys. And here's what they would do once it started to happen, is they would take the male children from their mother. The Bible says they threw them in the Nile. Now, they didn't just throw them in the Nile to throw them in the Nile. They threw them in the Nile and they fed them to the crocodiles. Why would the Egyptians feed those babies to the crocodiles? Well, the Egyptian chief deity looked like a crocodile. And it had that shape and had that form. And that deity had promised Egypt through lying words that if they would offer up children to the crocodiles, that God would then come and bless them with fertility and abundance and prosperity. And God's judgment, God saw them do that to those children. And God's judgment came back to that same nation. He is a God of justice. What was the culmination of his justice on Israel? The firstborn of every child, every man, every cow, every horse, everything. The firstborn was claimed by the Spirit of God. God, the God of justice, stepped up and there was recompense. And then think about this. Pharaoh himself, they threw those babies in the Nile River. What happened to Pharaoh and his army? Pharaoh and his army, the horse and the rider, were both thrown into the sea, the Red Sea, and the people of God went off on dry land. Come on. Our God is a God of justice. Amen. There's not a lot of preaching like that anymore. But I'm telling you, I know our God's a God of love. But at the end of the day, he is also a God of justice. Don't ever forget that. It's the lack of that that's pulled the fear of the Lord out of the American church. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Starts understanding that he is the God of justice. Have you ever heard of the walls of Jericho came tumbling down? Somebody say amen to that, right? Do you know what was in the walls of Jericho? Part of the reasons the walls fell. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament where the prophets proclaim it against Jericho. And he said, the jars in your walls cry out against you. It was a pagan practice in that city to slaughter the unborn as an offering to their deity that they might be blessed. And then they would take those remains of children, put them in jars, and they would build them into the wall. And they believed that that would protect them, having those slaughtered babies in the walls of Jericho. So God came and he hit them in their wall. He broke down their wall because he's a God of justice and you do not slaughter the unborn without answering for it long term. There will be a day of reckoning. Listen, just like God hit Jericho in their wall, I believe that God, if we keep up this behavior, will hit us in our wall. What is our wall? Our wall is Wall Street. It's the thing we love more than anything else. Now, I'm telling you, I was driving down the road the other day, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and God gave me a prophecy. Now, I want to prophesy today in front of all these people. I'm going to read it to you. It's a spirit of prophecy. It's a gift out of 1 Corinthians. You could read about it. Here's what the Lord said. He said, because you've allowed this evil thing to come into your land, and because you've celebrated that which I abhor, I, the Lord, am rising and moving my force against you. You have reached up with your hand and you have touched the very apple of my eye. The apple of my eye is the unborn and the innocent. I weep and I cry and I lament over the city of the apple. Because you've touched the apple of my eye, now I will come and touch the apple of your eye, says the Lord. I'll allow a rot to come and begin to grow in the center of the financial district in New York. I will cause my hand to come against it, and there will be a crash that will come in such a strong way that it will make the crash in 2008 and 2009 look like child's play, says the Lord of hosts. But I've now allowed a space of time to repent for those who have authority in the land, those who have a voice, those who control the gates in your nation, to begin to move and to create a counterattack against this wickedness. If the men will rise and act and rend their garments, and if the nation turns, I will draw back what I'm allowing to come to you by your own creation. But the time is short, says the Lord. I'm waiting and watching and wanting to do my work. I've now held back as long as I can, and now this wicked action is calling me to act. Move now, says the Lord. The time is short. Preach and prophesy to your nation. May my word move my people to action. I'm going to tell you that the Spirit of God is speaking to the church, and he's crying out in the streets. He's telling us to preach. He's telling us to prophesy. He's telling us to speak against wickedness. He's telling us to call evil, evil, and good, good, and not to mix it up anymore. And if there's ever been a time for the church to rally, now is the time for us to stand up and to let our voice be heard in the nation. Now is the time to act. Now is the time to call. Now is the time to cry out. God's looking for a people of justice to turn this thing right side up. Come on, somebody. The lion has roared. Who can but prophesy? Who can but prophesy? Who can but prophesy? It's time. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap if you believe it. I'm telling you, God wants us to move. God wants us to preach. God wants us to call a nation to repentance. And it's not just us, it's the whole church. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. If we're not incensed, if we're not tore up about something like this, I don't know what tears you up anymore. Become calloused, right? If we don't get tore up about this. So here's what the word of the Lord said. The word of the Lord said, you've touched the apple of my eye. That's the center part of your eye. It's a Hebraism. He said, because of that, I'll touch the apple of your eye. And he'll hit us in our wall, our Wall Street. Here's the great thing about prophecy and judgment. It's almost always conditional. Aren't y'all thankful that God's a God that gives us space of time to repent? He's given us space of time to repent. Now, I feel with all my heart that God says, he said it. He said, if we'll repent, if we'll rend our garments of men and women of authority, we'll begin to cry out. And there'll be a countermeasure. He'll push back that space and time. I'm telling you, he's a God of all grace. He does not want to release judgment. He always wants to release grace. I'm telling you, his mercies are new every morning. And he's just looking for hearts to turn. The moment a heart turns, I believe God's will can be turned from judgment to blessing. Amen. Hey, how do we do this as a church? What do we do in a situation like this? Here's some things I think we can do. What can I do, Pastor? I think we need to let our voice be heard through every avenue. You have a voice. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you have a voice. Man, it's time to let your voice be heard. Second thing I think we do is I think we write our lawmakers and let them know. I know we're not in control of New York, but I think we make sure our voice is heard in our state, in our realm of authority. Come on, somebody say amen to that. We tell those people in charge, this is what we believe. We believe that's evil. We believe that's murder. And we'll vote for anything that limits it. And we will stand against anybody that promotes it. I think you let your voice be heard. Third thing I think we do is we stop celebrating celebrities. Since when did celebrities ever know anything about anything about anything about anything? When did sports stars ever know anything about anything about anything about anything? It's insanity. Most of them trade wives like we trade cars, right? Why would we let them be a moral compass? Corporations that are evil and wicked, I think we stand against them. Now, I'm not a guy that pickets everybody because eventually you can't eat anywhere, but I'm just saying, when it becomes obvious, right? It's like I'm out. I'm not standing with those that stand against the righteous rule of Jesus. Fourth thing I think we do, and this is the biggest, is we get serious about the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The only thing that will turn a wicked heart is the grace of Jesus. And as we release the grace of Jesus into the world, hearts will change and God will be glorified. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Let's pray for this nation. Then we're going to baptize some people, so don't go. Just stand up on your feet. If you're comfortable with it, lift a hand to heaven this morning. Let's begin to pray for this nation. Come on. Father, we pray for this nation right now. We pray for a turning to come to America. We pray, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your flow and your love to come. And right now we ask for a hedge of protection around the unborn in New York and around our nation. I pray you send the right people to tell young girls, to tell young men, you don't have to do that. You don't have to slaughter that baby. It won't bring you gain. It'll only bring you hardship. Lord, let voices be released. Let the word of God, let Christians take their place all throughout that state. I pray you'd make a difference. I pray you'd turn the hearts of the medical community that say something like this is okay. I pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, you would rend their heart. You would speak to them. You would appear to them. Let visions and dreams flow into those offices, those hospitals, those places. Let them say, I can't be a part of this anymore. We pray for the conviction of God to come in that area in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray that you would raise up godly, spirit-filled politicians. Lord, out of our camps, out of the camps of Bible-believing, spirit-filled people, raise them up and set them in high seats in the land. Do what only you can do supernaturally to bless America. We pray in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Now, I believe this. We're going to go over to water baptism. I'm sorry it's so heavy right now, but man, there's no way around this. If I don't preach this, I'm not a man of God today. And here's what I believe, and this is me, not the Lord, okay? So look at your neighbor and says, Brian says, not the Lord. Just tell him that, huh? You got to make that real clear if you've been prophesying. Because I'm a man of God, but I'm a man, right? So if I know it's the word of the Lord, I say it like the word of the Lord. If I don't know it's the word of the Lord, I'm like, I don't know. This is what I think. Does that make sense? It's the way we all live our life. So here's what I believe. I believe as we look at what's happening nationally coming up, I think that there's a gauge. I almost believe me. I believe that what happens in the Supreme Court over the next short space of time is going to show us whether adequate repentance has come for our nation to turn our situation. And if it goes in the wrong direction, I believe it'll be a signpost that there's bad things coming for our nation. If it goes in the right direction, I believe that the scepter of grace has been pointed towards us because of appropriate repentance. So watch and pray. Everybody say, watch and pray. Let's believe God for a miracle in our nation. Somebody say amen.